Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Proverbs chapter 20 in your Scofield Bible, page 686. That's 686. Beginning with verse 23, we'll read through verse 30. We'll read the verses responsively. And the 27th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do so at the reading of God's Word. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of the wound cleanseth away evil, so the stripes the inward parts of the belly. Father, thank you for today and for this blessed opportunity. Week by week we have this wonderful opportunity of gathering here, the Old First Baptist Church of Hammond. Thank you that though things change in many ways, there's the unchanging good old church downtown. And thank you for a preacher who leads us and sees to it that it stays the same as far as gospel truth and this good old book is concerned. So thank you for today. Thank you for the services, and especially thank you for this hour. Bless our preacher and help us each together to gain that from the service that you would want us to gain. Open our hearts and minds, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In our Sunday school lesson this morning, at least in my class, I emphasized something I'm going to repeat and then pray and then bring a brief message. In our Sunday school lesson, we learned this morning that Satan has no plan for your life. He has no desire for you to do anything that he wants you to do. He has no plan for your life. He doesn't care that much about you. We also learned that he has one idea in mind, and that is to keep you from God's plan for your life. He doesn't care what way you go as long as you don't go God's way. He doesn't care what book you believe as long as you don't believe the King James book. He's not trying to get you to go any direction. He's trying to keep you from going God's direction. He only wants, get this statement, he wants to rob God of you. That's Satan's entire plan. He hates God. He wants to rob God of you. He wants to keep you from submitting yourself to God. Now, after I pray, I'm going to use a visual aid that I used years and years ago in a sermon. It's probably been 20, 25 years ago. And it's not the same sermon, and it's not even the same thought, application at least, but I want you to listen carefully. I want to speak today on the unhappy generation. The unhappy generation. You say, how you know it's unhappy? Because we're trying to escape reality. That's why people drink their alcoholic beverages. They're trying to escape reality. That's why they take their narcotics. They're trying to escape reality. That's why they watch the Hollywood movies. They're trying to escape reality. And this is the unhappy generation. I want to speak on that this morning. Father, help me as I speak today. I want to help the people, and I cannot help them without you helping me. So help me to help them. So together we, tomorrow and the tomorrows of life, can help others. Amen. Now I ask you to listen carefully as I speak on the unhappy generation. Turn me up just a tad, please, where I usually am. there are some unhappy people in this room this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you why you're not happy. And by the way, if you'd listen to what I'm going to say this morning, the Word of God, if you'd heed what's been said this morning, I promise you that we could put the psychologist out of business. I'm not talking about psychiatrists now who help the mentally ill. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about you folks that are flustered and have to go to some shrink to get you happy. I'm going to tell you how to be happy this morning. And though many of you will not do what the Bible says, I'm at least going to tell you why you're not happy and why you refuse to be happy. There are some unhappy young people here this morning. Listen to me. Unhappy teenagers. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy. There's some unhappy children here this morning. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy. There's some unhappy wives here this morning. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy. There's some unhappy students here. Hammond Baptist students or Hiles Anderson College students or City Baptist students. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy this morning. There's some unhappy employees today. And I'm going to tell you the main reason you're unhappy. There's some unhappy church members here. And I'm going to tell you why all across America, our independent Baptist churches, you've got a bunch of unhappy church members. I'm going to tell you the main reason why. Brother Johnny, I want you to help me here this morning. And I want you to take this right here. That is a candle. And here are some matches right here. In a moment, I want you to help me and follow me carefully. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. All right? So here is the candle. And the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means that God provides the fire for the candle. Man is the candle. Now, strike a match, Brother Johnny, if you would, please. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, if you let that go out, you ruined my old sermon. You know that. Brother Moffitt, you want to help me, please, this morning?
Well,
you know how to do that, don't you? Okay, blow it out. I didn't want to all of a sudden. I wanted to use it. Keep burning. Yeah, keep it burning some. And don't put it there where folks can see it. You're messy. Use your cigarette lighter instead. All right. Now then. Now, this candle was made for the fire. Now, this candle cannot be what it was made to be or be useful unless it submits itself to the fire. So the candle submits itself to the fire. And then it submits itself again to the fire. And then the candle, now you blow it out, the candle, hold that up for me, the candle now is fulfilling the purpose for its existence. Let's suppose that your electricity goes out some night, and you get up, and you just stick the candle out and hold the candle. Won't do any good at all. The candle must have submitted itself to that more powerful force, or that force for which it was made, if the candle does what it's supposed to do. Now, the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, that means, ladies and gentlemen, that I cannot be what I was meant to be until I, the candle, submit myself to the fire. That superior force for which I was made, and without the submission to that force, I cannot be happy. Now, I'm not talking this morning about the Christian's obligation just yield himself to God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about plain, old, pure, ordinary happiness. You're not going to be happy till you submit yourself to the authority of God himself. Consequently, my success in life depends on my submitting myself. I'm the candle of the Lord, and my success in life depends on my submitting myself to the Lord. He is the fire, and I am the candle. But that isn't all. My purpose in life being fulfilled. is totally dependent upon my yielding myself to the fire. For my spirit is the candle of the Lord. And every unhappiness you have is caused because you have not submitted yourself as God's candle to God. Now you say, how do I submit myself to God? It so happens that God has written a book, you see. And it so happens that if you yield yourself to what is written in this book, then you have yielded as the candle of the Lord. You've yielded yourself to the fire. Don't leave me now. You've yielded yourself to that fire. Now, that means that my success in life depends. Now, see this candle right here? This candle right here is a much prettier candle than that. I'll tell you if I want you to hold it. And this candle is a much prettier candle than, hold it tight, by the way. It's much prettier that candle than that. But that candle right there is fulfilling its purpose in life. I know some Christians this morning that are mighty pretty Christians, but you're not amounting to anything because you're just a pretty Christian. Oh, you got a good personality and a winsome disposition, but you have not submitted yourself to the superior force, which is your Creator, your God, the mighty everlasting Father, and so forth. But here you are this morning. Oh, you want to be a pretty Christian. No, God's not looking for pretty Christians. God's looking for yielded Christians who submit themselves to authority. Again, I could this morning stand up here and say to you, now, you're not right with God if you don't submit yourself to the superior force. And that's right. But that's not the purpose of my sermon this morning. I'll preach that at other times. By the way, you're not right with God if you don't submit yourself to the superior force. But that's not my purpose. I'm talking about plain old selfish happiness this morning. You are not happy if you've not submitted yourself to your Heavenly Father. You were made for Him. He created you for His own pleasure. And you are not happy. I don't care how much liquor you got in your icebox. I don't care how much wine you've got in your cellar. I don't care how many nightclubs you go to. How many HBO movies you've watched this week. How many times you've been to the amusement park. I don't care. I'm saying this morning, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. And you're never going to be happy and never going to be able to put the dope out of your veins and the whiskey out of your mouth and the beer bottle out of your hand until you find that which was made, what you were made, and submit yourself to your God. Now the question comes. Not only that, before I get to the question, not only is your effectiveness caused by yielding yourself, but God's effectiveness. Let me hold that candle. I want you to strike a match, Brother Roy, if you would, please. All right. Here is the spirit of man. This is you. I'll strike the match. And there is the fire. Now, this candle cannot be what it was meant to be without that fire. Is that right? All right. Likewise, that fire cannot be what it was meant to be without this candle. Is that it? So that means in order for the candle to do what it was supposed to do, it has to have the fire. In order for the fire to do what it was supposed to do, you having trouble there, Ron? In order for the...
Hanging in there.
All right, you can blow it out. Now the truth is, just as sure as that candle needs that fire needs that candle. That fire will burn for a few seconds, as you saw a while ago. That candle will burn for maybe an hour or more, or maybe several hours. God needs you. You need God to be effective, and God needs you for His effectiveness. So not only are you robbing yourself of your happiness, you're robbing God of His opportunity and what God's purpose is in this world. Now, I want to say this. If you're not saved this morning, you're a candle, but you have not yielded yourself to the fire, and you're not happy. I said you're not happy. Oh, yes, I am too. Then why do you drink your liquor to try to escape reality? Why do you take your dope to try to escape reality? Why do you watch your stinking Hollywood movies to try to escape reality? The truth, honest truth is, the happiest people in this world are the people who've yielded themselves to their Creator and have submitted themselves to that force that's more powerful. Now the question comes, listen carefully, how do we submit ourselves to God? God is not here. Are you listening? He is not here. So God cannot speak to me audibly today and tell me what I'm supposed to do. So don't miss this. God has delegated authority.
Don't miss it. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy, wives. You know where I'm going. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy, teenagers. You know where I'm going. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy, children. You know where I'm going. I'm saying God has delegated nobody on earth but people. And God has to choose somebody to be in charge of the rest of us. And that's why a country has a president, and a state has a governor, and a city has a mayor, and a home has a father, and a wife has a husband, and a team has a coach, and a class has a teacher, and a school has a principal. I promise you this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? I'll tell you why you wives are unhappy. There you are. Hold that. There you are. Hold the mic. And that's why you're not happy. Because God has placed over you, God has placed over you your husband. And you as a candle are to submit yourself to your husband. Now, I'm not talking now about the fact that you're not right with God. But by the way, you're not right with God if you don't submit yourself to your husband. It's in the book. It's in the book. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. It's in the book. But I'm not talking about that this morning. No, you're not a good Christian if you don't yield yourself to your husband, submit yourself to your husband. Likewise, you're not a happy person because you are like the candle without the fire. Now this morning, what you need to do is this. You need to submit yourself to your husband, and in so doing, you fulfill your purpose in life. But see, here you are, you're interested in having a pretty face. You're interested in having a pretty figure. There you are. There. And by the way, I'm not kidding. Don't you laugh when puffballs of your rebellion against God's plan. Don't you laugh because you're a bossy wife, a Jezebel. That's why you wear your pants in public, because you wear your pants at home. Now you listen to me carefully. There you are. You're pretty. You have nice clothes on this morning. You worked on your hair. Some of you did. Others of you needed to. But you worked on your hair this morning. But the honest truth is, you may be pretty, but you're not happy, because nobody is happy until he has submitted himself to God's authority, and God has placed the man in the home as his deputy, and no woman not only is not right with God, but you're not happy that you submit yourself to the authority that God has placed in the home. I don't care what the National Organization of Women say. I don't care what the women's rights husbands say. I don't care what they say. If you don't believe I'm right, look and see how unhappy their faces are. The happiest woman in this room this morning is the woman who submitted herself to her husband. Well, you say my husband's not perfect. It so happens we have no perfect people on the earth. And it so happens that God has to place imperfect people in charge. An imperfect coach coaches a team. An imperfect governor governs the state. An imperfect pastor leads the church. An imperfect teacher teaches a class. An imperfect principal leads a school. But that is God's plan, and nobody is happy till he yields himself to the authority that God has placed over him. That's why you're unhappy. Now, again, I could take the whole time and try to get you right with God. That's not the purpose of my sermon. I happen to love you, ladies. I happen to want you to be happy. And I happen to know who the happy ladies in this church are. And they're not the ones who are rebelling against their husband's authority. I'm not saying your husband ought to be a dictator. The Bible never teaches a husband to assume authority. He shouldn't have to assume authority. The wife should yield to that authority. That isn't all. Back to unhappy children. The unhappy teenagers in this room this morning. Hey, teenagers, wake up. Straighten up. Listen to me. The unhappy teenagers, and they're probably hiding in the corner somewhere as far back as they can get. But the unhappy teenagers here and the unhappy young people are those who have not submitted themselves to the authority of their parents. You check your Bible. You'll find in the Bible that right in the middle of all the dirty sins, such as homosexuality and murder and fornication, right in the middle of all those sins, you'll have the sin disobedient to parents. Now, don't you criticize the queers if you're not obedient to your mom and dad. But you say mom and dad aren't always right. No, and neither is anybody else on earth always right. But God has delegated authority in your home for the teenagers to submit themselves to moms and dads. Now, I'd like to take about an hour and a half and tell you why you're not right with God. Well, here you are. Where are you? Here you are. You're the best soul winner in the team that's soul winning. Well, how about that? You memorize more verses than anybody in the teenage club. But how about, here's your light burning. You graduated honors. You may be the valedictorian, salutatorian of the senior class. But how about that? Now you listen carefully to me, ladies and gentlemen. This country is going to hell because we've taken the authority outside the family. We've taken the authority away from the husband. We've taken the authority away from mom and dad. And you teenagers and you children, listen to me. You are not going to be happy. I'm not talking now about being right with God. Well, you can't be right with God if not submit yourself to your parents. I'm simply talking about that scowl on your face right now. I walked in the hallway a while ago. Down the hallway, a nice-looking young lad in a suit and tie with a smile on his face walked up to me and openly shook my hand and said, "Good morning, Pastor." That's an obedient boy. I walked down a little farther the same hallway and saw a kid about the same age. He didn't have a tie on. He was dressed slouchy. His pants were four sizes too big. Take a miracle for him to stay up for an hour. He was slouching down the hallway. And I said, "Good morning." He said, "You're a teacher, of course, on how to be happy. Truth is, that kid's miserable. Just like the rest of you rebels are. Just like the rest of you disobedient young people are. There's a God in heaven that not only wants this society to be retained by fellowship, obeying leadership, as God has given designated authority, but God wants you to be happy. And you're not going to be happy if you obey your mom and dad. I said you're not going to be happy if you obey your mom and dad." You yield yourself to the designated authority. I can prove it because you're frowning right now. In case you can't see me, you're too slumped down in your seat too much. Writing notes to your sweetheart. Now you listen to me. I'm not talking about making you a good Christian right now. That's some other time. I'm talking about your happiness. I'm talking about your joy. But there you are, the star of the basketball team. There you are, the athletic hero of the school. You have a mighty pretty candle. A good physique, a good figure, a fair countenance, and you have a good personality. But you're not happy because nothing is ever happy until it yields itself to the designated authority that God in heaven has chosen for him. Let's go to unhappy students. The reason, listen, not only are you not right with God if you're betting against your teachers, and I'm a little bit sick and tired of you criticizing your school teachers. And I'm a little sick and tired of you parents joining up with the kids you're criticizing their school teachers too. And God is sick and tired of it too. God in his wisdom has had to choose from us imperfect people who do not always make the right decisions. But God has designated their authority. So sit still in your class and behave and obey your school teacher. You can spot them. I can spot the disgruntled people in any church in America. I was in a church not long ago. I was preaching. I said to the pastor, fourth row back here, three people in the middle. He said, "You got them. They're causing you trouble, aren't they?" You know why? They got that look on their face. You can see it. Got that look on their face. And you thought you were trying to smile right now, so I won't think you're one of them. But the honest, simple truth is you can spot them. They're the unhappy-looking people. The disgruntled church member is not happy. Why? Because he is not submitting himself to authority. The disgruntled teenager is not happy. Why? He's not submitted himself to authority, and he is a candle without the light. A disgruntled wife is not a happy wife. Oh, you say, well, my brother Hiles, my husband is not a good husband. Bible doesn't say, oh, submit yourself to your good husband. It says, submit yourself to your husband. Well, you say, this is 2000 A.D. I'm glad you found out. But this book is ever new. America today is being destroyed because of that picture right there. More education, but don't yield yourself to the fire. More power, more money, more pleasure, but don't yield yourself to the fire. And I'm looking today at a bunch of people who are just like that candle. A lot prettier than that one, but that one's got a glow. Back to unhappy employees. Back to unhappy church members. And back to unhappy human beings. Some of you folks that never trusted Christ, here you are. But you have not yielded yourself to that power for which God made you. Again, I say, as I've said a dozen times already, you're not a good Christian if you have not yielded yourself to God. But that's not the purpose of my sermon. I want you to be happy. You're not a happy Christian if you've not yielded yourself to your Creator. You're not a happy wife if you've not submitted yourself to your husband. You're not a happy child if you've not submitted yourself to your parents. You're not a happy teenager if you've not submitted yourself to authority. You're not a happy student if you've not submitted yourself to your teacher. You're not a happy employee if you've not submitted yourself to your employer. You're not a happy church member if you've not submitted yourself to the authority of the body of this great church. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the happy people are the people who have submitted themselves to the authority, and God's the authority, but God is not here, and God does not live physically in your home, so He's placed the authority in the hands of someone to represent Him. Let me show you something else now. Here some of you are. Hold this. Hold that for me. Here some of you are right here. But your life has been, but you can still like that, what's left over. Some of you ladies have been married 15 years. You don't have a full candle, but you can still yield yourself and shine. It may be that you've not yielded yourself to your Heavenly Father, and it may be that you're middle age and you've not served God. Whatever life you've got, you can still yield yourself to the Heavenly Father. It may be that you're down here toward the end of life. It may be that you never yielded yourself to God. Walk down this aisle this morning, say yes to Jesus Christ, trust Him as your Savior, walk out that door having yielded yourself for the first time in your life to your Creator. Thank you, Brother Roy. You can roll that out. Have a seat, Carrie Puskin. Now, listen carefully to me. How then, there are two areas where I must submit to my God. Number one, I must submit to Him concerning the work that He had for me to do. I must find His will for my life, as I said a while ago. And any other will than His will, I'm yielding myself to the devil, and the devil's laughing about it and rejoicing about it, not because I've chosen a bad path, but because I've chosen any path other than God's path. That isn't all. I must yield myself to His work for me, and I must yield myself to His work on me. Let me illustrate. God put me in a drunkard's home. My dad, as you know, was an alcoholic. I thought I was cheated. Bob Keyes' dad was a deacon in our church, my good friend Bob Keyes. Leroy Howard's dad, my good friend, was a deacon in our church, and both of the fellows taught Sunday school. I was cheated, I felt. My dad left us. My mother and I lived alone. I felt like I was cheated. But now, wait a minute. One day, I decided to make peace with God's work on me. Now, work for me, I'd yielded myself to preach. I knew that. I knew I was going to do God's work for me, but it was tough, God's work on me. And I sat on a curb one night in the corner of Elmore and Idaho Street in Dallas, Texas. as a lad. And I said, "Dear God, I don't have a dad who's a deacon like Leroy, or like Richard Newton's dad, or like Bob Key's dad, and other like the Green Boy's dad. I don't have it. My dad's an alcoholic, and he left us, and we live in poverty. Mom and I don't own a car. We have no transportation. Everybody else has cars to drive. We don't have a car. I'm the guy that wears the hand-me-down clothes." But I said, "Dear God, if this is what you have for me, I accept it." And I yielded myself to God's work not only for me, but God's work on me. Now, that's what some of you folks need to do today. Let me tell you something. If I had not had a drunkard's dad, a drunkard for a dad, if I had not had a drunkard for a dad, you would not see those street people sitting up there this morning. Because my dad used to sleep on the streets too. And that's why I love those people. If my dad had been sober, we had not had those rescue missions up there this morning, because my dad stumbled into rescue missions like all the drunks did. If my dad had not left us poverty-stricken, we wouldn't have all these bus kids and bus people coming to church this morning, because we lived in the ghetto. A little kid the other day said, "My daddy's a drunkard." I said, "So was mine." He said, "My daddy left us." I said, "So did mine." He said, "My mama has to make our living." And I said, "So did mine." Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, not only yield yourself to the work that God has for you, but yield yourself to the work that God does on you. And make peace with the circumstances of your life. Couples that can't have children, make peace with it. Ladies that never marry, make peace with it. You have a certain injury, make peace with it. Certain disease, make peace with it. A year ago last March, I had to make peace with the fact that I was going to spend the rest of my life with a heart condition. But I'm still preaching. I'm still leading this church. And plan to, as long as it keeps on beating. And even if he quits beating, I still may do it from heaven by proxy. But now, wait a minute, folks. Wait a minute. I don't want to have a heart condition. And you don't want to have your problem. But we do. And there's a God in heaven who's in charge. Now, this morning, in closing, let me say, some of you children, I'm talking about you A students. Instead of putting that bumper sticker on the back that says "proud to be parent of an honor roll student," I'd rather say "proud to be the parent of an obedient student." I want some of you young people this morning to yield yourself to the authority of your mom and dad for your happiness. And I want my way. My wayers are miserable people. I'm talking some people here that are not little teenagers anymore, who are also rebelling. I want my way. I, me, ours, us, mine is a miserable way to live. Teenagers, children, yield yourself to mom and dad this morning. That's your trouble. That's why you're not happy. Check it. You start off, follow me carefully. You start off. You kids who got expelled from school, where'd you start off? Rebelling against mom and dad. You boys that have gotten off on dope, where did it start? Didn't obey your parents. You folks are trying to get it cured from alcoholism. You young people, where did it start? Disobeying mom and dad. So wives, I want you to yield yourself to the authority that God has placed over you, your husband, for your own happiness. Children, I want you to yield yourself to the authority that God has placed over you for your own happiness. Student, I want you to yield yourself to your teacher for your own happiness. Employee, I want you to yield yourself to your employer for your own happiness. Because nobody is ever happy until it has submitted itself to the authority that God has placed over it. And that authority, as I said a while ago, is deputized by God Himself. So this morning, Brother Ross, step up here again. Here's what I want you to do.
And this out.
That's where you pretty folks will end up. That's where you rebels would end up. Now, if all you've got is that much left, yield yourself and give God whatever you have left, and you can still bear a light. But the best thing to do is do it while you're young. Yield yourself to the authority. Look at me. Right now, children, decide to obey mom and dad. Right now, teenagers, decide to obey mom and dad. And as long as you live inside the house with mom and dad, you're still supposed to obey mom and dad. I don't care if you're 50 and they're 80. You're still supposed to obey mom and dad. Wives, decide to obey your husbands. Students, decide to obey your teachers. Employees, decide to obey your employers. Citizens, decide to obey the laws of the land. For you'll never be happy. Happy. Talk about happy. Your happiness. Until you have submitted yourself to Him. And since He is not physically here, He has had to deputize people in every institution. And you'll never be happy until you submit yourself to that deputy. Would you bow your heads, please?